Lord, I thank you that when we gather, we have more to hear from than just me. I'm simply the messenger here to serve up your word. That is the food. That is the sustenance. That is what we need. We crave heart, soul, and mind. We feed upon your word this day. We look to the promises of your word. We look to the truth that can be known. The glory we discern from it. We look to it today in the power of your Spirit to come and live in us. Come move and work. Lord, cut through our sin. Cut through our calloused, bent towards ourselves, and teach us to sing this gospel song. Help us to see what is true and what matters most in this world. And Lord, we want to gather as people who have been marked by grace. And so as we gather around your word, we see the hero of the story is set high, as it should be. Jesus Christ is the theme of our song. And so we sing in our music this gospel song. Now we sing through preaching this gospel song. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been journeying through the book of Philippians. If you're visiting with us, this has been an exciting journey. I preached for the first time ever in handcuffs a few weeks ago, something I care not to do again. I keep getting calls from California, "You really preached in handcuffs? How was that? What was that like?" So that was interesting. But Paul here is writing a letter to the Philippians who live in Philippi, fitting. And Paul is actually in chains. He's under house arrest. And so he's giving them an update on how he's doing. We're picking up the letter here in chapter 15 of verse 15 of chapter 1. I titled the sermon, "The Singer and the Gospel Song." And so as we read through the text, I want to draw out some of those things that I see. Start with me in verse 15. Paul writes, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Christ is proclaimed." So what's going on? Well, Paul is in chains, and God is working in amazing and miraculous ways. Despite the fact that he's in chains, the gospel is on the move. We saw this last week. There are people who boldly speak now who didn't have the courage to speak until they became aware that Paul was in chains for the gospel. He hadn't committed any sin or broken any law. He simply was telling people about what Jesus had done, and he found himself under house arrest. And so this moved many to preach boldly. Others, though, became envious of this. And so I want to look, as you follow along in the outline here, there's a few fill-in-the-blanks this morning. I want to look first at the singer's motives. You see, there's the singer, and then there's the gospel song. And you can't have one without the other. The gospel song is meant to be sung by the mouth of the singer. And every singer has a heart and motives that run deep, deep beneath the surface. And so the singer's motives are set on display for us here. And Paul says, verse 15, "Some are preaching Christ even from envy and strife. Some also from goodwill." So it's possible to be right in a very wrong way. You can be right and still be wrong, Paul's saying. Now, it's fascinating to me that in these verses, he is not calling out a false teaching. Paul is not saying, "Hey, this is a false gospel, don't listen to them." He affirms what they preach is Christ, and in that he rejoices. But the way they preach it, the motive that comes, you might say the lyrics are there, but there's some pitching issues. The tone, there's something in the music that's just a little off. And he wants us to be pointed out, the singer's motives. Envy and strife. Now, The difference between envy and jealousy. Jealousy would say, hey, Steve, I want what you have. There's an entire show built around this on HGTV. Have you seen it? I Want That. It's an amazing show. So you look at stuff and you're like, yeah, I want that. You know, jealousy. They have it, I want it. Envy is different. Envy says, I don't want you to have what you have. It's not right. It's not wanting someone to have what they have. So apparently there was preachers, teachers, those who sung the gospel song, and they looked at Paul and they were bothered that he was seeing the fruit that he was seeing, even though he was in chains. They were bothered that the fact that everywhere Paul went, churches just popped into existence and the gospel was on the move. Somehow that bothered them. And so to try to poke at Paul when he was in chains, they would preach out of envy and to cause him strife. They wanted him to be upset that they were out there freely doing what they were doing. No chains here, Paul. Yeah, bet you wish you could be me. Envy and strife. How in the world can you put the gospel song together with that? Oh, it's a good thing nowadays that never happens in our churches. You know, like me, I'm glad it was only a problem for back then, but nowadays we would never see that in our churches, right? You know, that work that God's doing across town, just loads of people coming to Christ, committing themselves, churches growing, not enough chairs. Envy and strife, no way. Not in this church. We will not stand for that. We sing the gospel song. Let it go out. Let God do his work in whatever way he chooses. And if he grows this church, praise the Lord, Christ is proclaimed. And if he chooses to keep us in a smaller setting or to put chains on us in certain ways, let it be so. We're going to sing. We're going to sing the gospel song here. Oh, competition and the gospel song, it's like oil and water. If it's true and it's Christ, then sing it and let it be sung and heralded around the world. We'll sing it here, that's for sure. We're going to sing it when we choose those songs, we're going to sing that gospel. When we preach the word, we're singing the gospel song. When we talk to each other, interact with each other, bump into each other, gospel song, gospel song. When we head off into work, when we head out into the soccer fields, when we head off into the campus and the classes at high school, gospel song, right? Gospel song. Competition, no thanks. Humility, yes. Oh, it fits. Do you hear it? When you hear the music of the gospel song, a humble response is fitting. It's like harmony to the gospel song. Humble hearts that look upon the gospel and say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Who am I to be saved by this grace? Humility. We need it more. The hard work of humility. Someone once said, I can spot your pride so easily. But when I look upon my own pride, I can see it as accurately as if I was looking in a carnival mirror. It's very difficult to see pride, the root of every sin. It's in me. It wants a foothold in this church. It's in you. What are we going to sing when we gather? Sing the song of the gospel with humble and broken hearts. Oh, it's the only right song to sing. Preaching Christ even from envy and strife. Others, though, from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. Really? Selfish ambition? Not here. Oh, Lord, not Good Shepherd Community Church. Not in these walls. Not when we gather. Not when the church, the people of God, come together to sing. Not here. No. humble hearts marked by grace. Right motives matter as much as right doctrine. You might jot that down. What is in my heart when I sing the song is important to God. More than just being right. Think of the damage the church has done over the years of being right in the wrong way. We don't want that here. We want to hold this grace, this goodness, this truth, this Christ. We want to hold him with love and grace in all truth. We want to be right in the right kind of way. Humble hearts marked by grace. So we move on to the singer's perspective. The singer's perspective. What then? Only that in every way, verse 18, in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, in this I will rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. What is the perspective of those who gather to sing this gospel song? Who do we make much of when we gather? Should that be whom or who? Any English teachers here? Jackie? Right? Okay, it's good. I went back and forth. I'll just be honest. I did not know. Okay? So scratch that from the recording, James. When we gather, who is at the center of our gathering? In our song, when we sing and speak of God's work in our church, who gets the glory? Who do we speak of when we sing the song? Paul battled this. Such a gifted man like Paul, probably in the top five most brilliant men to ever walk the face of this earth, Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, God did unbelievable things. His story was like the testimony of testimonies. Killer of Christians, now builder of the church. That's an amazing, amazing story to tell. Pharisee of Pharisees. And yet, when people would come and they say, hey, no, Paul's my guy. I'm with him, right? And others would say, no, I'm with Apollos. A Paul guy, he's too short, you know? He's too short. And man, he gets kind of fiery on some stuff. I'm with Apollos. And other people over here, I'm with Peter, man. He's the rock. Peter's my guy. Forget those guys. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm with Peter. Or, I'm a Bill Hybels guy, right? Or, no, Rick Warren. Rick Warren's my guy. He wrote that book, man. I'm about that book, Purpose-Driven Life. Or what? Or Joel Osteen. Or, I mean, fill in the blank. Who's our guy? This is the center of our gaze. It's not the singer. It's the song. Who's the song about? God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Look, think of me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Paul, sorry to break it to you. You're the same thing. You know it. Men of God who carry this book, who seek to live it and speak of it on this stage, those who have gone before and walked this stage, the roots of our church as it traces its history, sinners saved by grace speak the word and sing the song. I've yet to meet a singer who sings the gospel song that's not also a sinner saved by grace. The perspective of the singer is important. The gospel song is not a solo. It's not a solo act. Now, Luann did a great job here. We requested that be a solo. That was actually the gospel song that she sang. But this song is to be sung by all who know it, all who hear it. I don't ever want us to think, well, hey, that's what we pay him to do. No way. I am here to equip us to sing. That's my job. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's basically, I'm here to teach you to sing. Now, Paul was much better at that than I was in the reality, the music part. But I tell you what, we've got the songbook. We've got the songbook. It's not a solo act. It's not about any one person in this church. It's about the church of God. That would be the people of God, marked by grace, who gather together to sing the gospel song. It's not a solo act. Now, it's easy to want that, though. Just like the people of Israel and the golden calf, we have in us a bent that says, I want to set my worship on something that's tangible. I want to see it. I want to interact with it. Lord, give us a king, right? Lord, give us something to worship like a golden calf. Lord, set someone in front of us that we can just be about. We have to resist that. We put men on pedestals, and then we find that they're sinners. If we build our faith on that shaky ground, we will be let down. I was encouraged by an older guy who said, look, find dead heroes. Find some dead heroes. Because if you find a lot of living heroes, you'll find yourself getting let down a lot. Find some dead heroes that can't disappoint you tomorrow. I thought that was pretty good advice. Oh, the gospel song is not sung to the glory of the singer. It's sung to the glory of the Savior. Why do we sing when we gather? What is the theme of the song? We sing it to the Savior. We don't sing it for the glory of the singer. We're not trying to put some kind of performance out here that brings glory to Good Shepherd Community Church. That's not what it's about. It's not about me. Rick Warren's book, the first chapter, first line, probably the best thing in the whole book, starts, it's not about you. Oh, that is so right when we sing the gospel song. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ proclaimed. In that we will rejoice. Amen? Yeah, the gospel song. Genesis 1 and 2, God created all things out of nothing. He created it all. He created it good. And in that creation, he created man and woman. He created them male and female. In his image, he created them, and he set them in a garden, and he gave them every good thing. He put in the garden an opportunity to obey. He put it in the form of a tree. And then he allowed a test of that obedience by allowing the serpent to come in temptation. This was no surprise to God. Genesis chapter 3, we disobeyed. We disobeyed. The fall. We ate of the fruit collectively, we all, in Eve and then Adam. We were fallen. We broke the law. We disobeyed. And as a result, separation. The world now knows death and cancer and all of the things that fall, the fallout of sin, brokenness, separation from God. We were not created to live this way. We were created for life, relationship with God, not death and damnation. And so we see through the pages of the Bible, attempt after attempt, that shows us that our own attempts fall short. We fail. We cannot solve the sin problem. We can't deal with the separation on our own. We need God's intervention. The gospel song rings out first, and that he created good, and then it rings our need, our desperation. There has been something lost. We need help here. Lord, if you don't step in, we're going to burn. Hell is real. Wrath is real. Sin is real. And we know it. We know it. We are without excuse. Praise be to God that the divine invasion of his love was launched in the form of a little baby. The Christmas story. God became man, and he came and pitched his tent. He dwelled among us, and he grew up. Sinless. Jesus Christ lived with no sin, the perfect man to bear my blame. perfect man, sinless. At age 30, he launched into ministry, the fullness of ministry as a fully established Jewish rabbi. 3 years he taught of truth so powerful that we couldn't handle it. We didn't know how to deal with a man so perfect, with truth so clear. And so we collectively put him to death. He willingly allowed it. He died the most remarkable sin of history. Is the death of an innocent man. No sin hung on a tree. Jesus Christ. Why did he die? Why did he die? He died to pay the wrath that was mine. It was set towards me. The righteous wrath of God was set towards me. Jesus stepped in. He said, I'll take it. I'll take it for him. And he died. Brutal death. 3 days, though, in the tomb, and he said, enough. And he took up his life, and he walked out of the grave, and he walked among the disciples, and then he went to heaven to the right hand of God, offering life now, hope, freedom. There is a way out. We have a hope. His name is Jesus. That is the gospel song. By grace alone, come. Place your faith in him. The work has been done. You don't have to perform. The Old Testament, the pages reassure us. It's a waste. We can't be good enough on our own. And so if you stand before God, the day of judgment, and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? And you answer, because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. I, in my own righteousness, cannot stand before you, but I stand by grace alone, because of the work of Jesus applied for me, I believe. The response of God the Father, the promise is, come in, my son, my daughter, come walk the streets of heaven forever and worship me. Any other response is not the gospel song. It will not do. So we sing. We will sing forever. You think about repetition in songs, something we think about a fair amount when we're planning worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is full of his glory. Day and night, that is repeated forever in the throne room of God. Oh, I can't wait to join that song. I want you to come. When I was 5 years old, I heard the gospel song when my dad presented the song to a lady who was dying. She only had a few days. And all of a sudden, I heard it. I heard the gospel song. And it was glorious. And when I heard it, instantly, I saw my sin. I saw my need. I talked to my dad. I want to sing that song forever. We prayed by faith. He held my hand up to my Father in heaven. And I was born not to death, but to life. Jesus is my only hope in this life and the next. He's the theme of my song. When I wake up in the morning, that's what we sing. Every word, every step, that must be the song. Oh, I want to sing it more. I want my life to sing, even when my mouth is closed. I want it to sing. We want to be the kind of church that can be heard for miles. Kind of church that's known by the, hey, they sing the gospel song there. It's not about that guy. It's not about their building or their this or their that. It's about Christ proclaimed. What a dream. Keep the main thing the main thing. Good Shepherd Community Church, that's the dream. Praise the Lord for a history, a legacy of rich gospel singing. Let's keep it there. Let's keep it there. Keep it at the center of our gaze. We keep the main thing, that is, Christ is proclaimed, and in that we rejoice. Sing that song. Never get over the gospel. You never move on. I used to think that once I accepted Christ as my Savior, that there was something else to do. Like, whenever I heard the gospel presented, I didn't know what to do because I already had prayed that prayer. I guess that's not for me. Oh, yes, it is. Every time you hear that gospel song, sing it. Sing it. He has saved us. He saves us. He will save us. We sing it forever. We never move on. There's nothing beyond the gospel song. There's not a song that replaces it someday when you get good enough or something. It's forever. Amazing grace. Look at what he's done. And so I want to close this morning just by asking two questions. First question is, have you heard the song? You know, I know we've got people who are visiting here and others who call this church their home. I want to talk to you this morning. Have you heard the song? Have you heard it? I mean, maybe you're here and you said, well, hey, I grew up kind of around this stuff and my family, we did this church thing off and on. I've heard it. I know it with my mind, but my heart doesn't know it. Or I know the lyrics, but I haven't heard the music. I want to ask you again, have you heard the song? It's the most beautiful song in the world. And it's the song you were created for. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you if Jesus Christ is alive. It's in you if the hope of heaven has risen from death, there is hope to live. Do you hear that song? If you're answering, well, I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, I've probably sung it for a while. But, man, I'm busy, you know. I've got a lot of other things. There's a lot of other music in my life. There's other songs that are kind of the same to me, and this one's just kind of one of the songs. I want to ask you again, have you heard the song for the fullness of what it is? Do you see Christ? Do you know what he did for you? If your answer is anything but, yes, I've heard that song. Yes, I know that song, and I love that song. And I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a few minutes to pray. For those of you who've heard the song, I want to ask you, are you singing it? If someone were to walk into your life and sum you up with a song, what would your life song be? What would the lyrics be? What words would they fill in as they wrote the music to your life? The things you love, the things you speak most of, the things you spend your time on, your money on, the thing that gives you the most joy and delight in this life, is it the gospel song? And if it's not, sing the song. Sing it louder. Make sure the people at work know that you're singing the gospel song. God will give you so many opportunities to sing it. Sometimes they'll be right out there with a microphone. Sometimes they'll just be humming it. But he'll put you opportunities. Give them to you. Are you singing the gospel song? Like we said last week, what do we fear? Is there any shame in the gospel song? Not at all. So let's sing it. In Good Shepherd Community Church, I commit to you this day, the song that is in this book will be sung so long as God gives me breath. It's what matters to me. There's no other agenda. There's no other message. It's the song. Let's pray. God, I ask myself what I deserve, knowing my sin, knowing that I have fallen short, I have hurt others. I have made idols of things that are simply small. I have a bent to worship things, Lord, that are insignificant, things that fade. They get cold at night, and that's sin. I have a bent towards me, to worship me, and that's sin. And God, I thank you that it's clear I don't deserve this gift of this gospel song, but somehow you reach down and you turn the head of this sinner and you open my ears to hear. You help me see. You unstopped my ears. You took the blinders off my eyes so I could see Christ, so I could hear the song of the saints that's been sung for years and years, 10,000s upon 10,000s who join together. The anthem rings, the gospel song. I praise you, God, for saving me. You didn't have to. I don't deserve saving. You set your grace on me, and I thank you. It is amazing grace to me. And Lord, for those who are here in this room who have heard this gospel song, who know it and love it, they see Christ, they see the gospel, they see hope because of him. They've staked their lives upon him and him alone. I thank you for that gift. We give glory to you for that gift, and we pray, Father, that there would be many more as a result of our song that would hear these words, that would hear the glory of the song and see the Savior. Lord, we sing this gospel song together in unison. We sing it because we have all things in common in Jesus Christ. We sing it with humble hearts that have been marked by grace. We sing it for the glory of God and the joy of all peoples. Lord, if there are some here, I pray that you would open ears and unblind eyes so that they might hear the song and see the Savior this morning. Spirit of God, work even right now. If you're here and you've heard truth, and you've seen something that you haven't before, you feel there's a tug on your heart, your soul, like God is trying to get your attention, I just encourage you, listen close. Listen close. The tug of God is upon. If I pray that you would this morning see Christ for who he is, that the song would be sung in your life, your heart, soul, and mind. If you want to sing the song this morning, you can join us. There's really nothing that you have to do. Just encourage you to seek Christ and respond to him. You might even say words like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to sing the gospel song, but I hear it. And I want to sing of grace, of forgiveness of my sin in Christ. I thank you for Jesus, his perfect life. I thank you for his death that paid my sin, my debt, my hell, my wrath. And I thank you for his victory over the tomb. I choose to live in him. I want to be restored to you. Teach me now how to live. Show me your word. Show me life. Make me free in Jesus Christ. You might be here and you've heard the song. Maybe you've grown up around church. And this morning you just want to recommit to sing that song with all your heart. You want to make that song the song of your life. I encourage you to spend some time, just pray those words to God. Just take a minute. And Father God, in your Spirit, seal all the work you have accomplished here. This is your work, your power, your word proclaimed. We are grateful, and what joy we have to sing. Your faithfulness endures. You have been good. We sing with joy. I pray, Father, for any decision this morning that was made to make you the highest goal, to set glory towards you, to make Jesus Savior. I pray that you would seal those, the power of your Spirit, and enable a walk. Give us lyrics and music to sing this song forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.